Then they took the man to the Pharisees. Now, as it happened, Jesus had healed the man on a Sabbath. The Pharisees asked the man all about it, so he told them,
"He smoothed the mud over my eyes, and when it was washed away, I could see.
This man, Jesus, is not from God, for he is working on the Sabbath."
"But how could an ordinary sinner do such miraculous signs?"
So there was a deep division of opinion among them. Then the Pharisees once again questioned the man who had been blind and demanded,
"But what did he do? How did he heal you?"
"Look, I told you once. Didn't you listen? Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?"
Then they cursed him and said,
"You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know God spoke to Moses, but as for this man, we don't know anything about him." "Why, that's very strange. He healed my eyes, and yet you don't know anything about him. Well, God doesn't listen to sinners, but he is ready to hear those who worship him and do his will. Never since the world began has anyone been able to open the eyes of someone born blind. If this man were not from God, he couldn't do it."
"You were born in sin. Are you trying to teach us?"
And they threw him out of the synagogue. When Jesus heard what had happened, he found the man and said,
"Do you believe in the Son of Man?"
"Who is he, sir? Because I would like to."
"You have seen him, and he is speaking to you."
"Yes, Lord, I believe."
And he worshiped Jesus.
"I have come to judge the world. I have come to give sight to the blind and to show those who think they see that they are blind."
Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that made us whole, and with his stripes we are healed." God sent Jesus, who went about healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus never changes. Jesus healed multitudes. That was his mission. He came to heal as well as to save. By his deeds, he showed us what he wanted to do so that we can see what he was and still is like. He came to heal them so that he could heal you and me.
Your blood speaks a better word than all the empty claims I've heard upon this earth. Speaks righteousness for me and stands in my defense. Jesus, it's your blood. Your blood speaks a better word than all the empty claims I've heard upon this earth. Speaks righteousness for me, he stands in my defense. Jesus, it's your blood. What can wash away our sin? What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash us pure?
Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day."
The last thing the devil wants you to do is hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will do anything to keep your mind, your eyes, your ears off the message of the gospel.
Have you been longing for peace and joy and happiness? You need converting. You need converting from sin to Christ. You need a change in your life. And you can have that change before this night is over. The Bible says you can have a new heart. You can have a change in your nature. Jesus said it all through the Gospels. He used such terminology as this: being born again, repenting of sin, entering a narrow gate, and many other expressions to express this idea of conversion. Now, why do we have to be converted? The Bible tells us, in order to find forgiveness of sin, you must be converted. Before you can find forgiveness of sin, now the Bible says, with your sins and in your sinful condition, you cannot find forgiveness of sin unless God forgives you. There's nothing you can earn. There's no amount of money you can pay. Then how can a person be forgiven of sin? God is a just God. God is a holy God. And that is the reason that he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and shed his blood. And the Bible says that if I come to the cross, if I am converted from my sins, if I receive Christ by faith, then I can be forgiven of every sin. So God, reverently speaking, can erase every sin from his memory. He buries them in the depths of the sea, as far as the east is from the west, and God wants to forgive you tonight. He wants to forgive you tonight. He wants to forgive you tonight, if you'll let him. But God requires that ye be converted. You can only come as you've been forgiven of sin. First there comes conversion from sin to Christ. Then because of Christ's death on the cross, God now finds grounds whereby he can forgive you of your sins.